speaking with Lenny Freeling. He's with National Normal Law Enforcement Against Prohibition and a director emeritus at Colorado Normal. And, you know, we've been doing this a long time, you longer than I, and as marijuana was illegal, we used to do a lot of counseling of our basic rights in police encounters. You know, keep your mouth shut, you know, right to remain silent, so forth. Now that marijuana is legal, am I under arrest? Can I go now? Now that marijuana is legal, do you find cannabis consumers flouting that or forgetting that they need to assert those rights still? This idea that, well, it's legal. Yeah, cop, I've got weed on me. What do you tell them now?
The answer to the first question, do I see it? Yes. I've been saying for a long time, for example, a young lady driving down a busy street, Canyon Boulevard in Boulder, smoking a little glass pipe. I assure you, they don't eat hamburgers there. My suspicion is there was butt in the pipe driving down the street with the window open. A, it's illegal. B, it's just plain stupid, and having nothing to do with legal or illegal, would you drive down the road with a vodka bottle? So to the extent that people aren't using a brown paper bag equivalent for pot, it's just ridiculous. So yes, there is flouting and there's stupidity. But I've said for a long time, smoking pot does not make people stupid, but some stupid people smoke pot.
Yeah.
More than that though, I really am seeing responsible use. I'm seeing, interestingly, I think not a great number of new smokers, new edible eaters. I'm seeing some of the old timers that haven't smoked since college that are curious to try it again, a wider medical market. But overall, the same people that were buying underground are the people that are now happily going to the store in the real market and paying for it and buying it. You asked about taxes.
Yeah.
Let me try to give a short answer to a really complex question. In Colorado, our Constitution contains what we call the Tabor Amendment.
Yes.
That requires that any new tax must be passed, approved by the will of the voters before it can be imposed. There is a question out there now about whether or not this qualifies as a new tax requiring separate voter approval, or if perhaps A64 inherently approved it since it contained the tax measure. At the end of the day, the government is not going to give back money.
What? This is just in.
there is one exception to that. Rachel Gillette has gotten IRS to give back to one of her dispensary clients the 10% penalty the dispensary had to pay for paying with employee withholding tax in person, in cash, in the Denver office by appointment. There's a 10% penalty for paying withholding in cash rather than wire transfer from the bank that we can't get accounts at.
Right. And Rachel Gillette, head of Colorado Normal.
Correct. She's the current chair of the board. Brilliant. Just, I mean, I moved us ahead. I'm happy about that. She has taken it to the next level.
Now, the next big event happening here in Colorado with the Normal stamp on it would be the legal seminar that's going on up in Aspen, and the retreat out at Hunter Thompson's owl farm as well. Can you give folks a little preview?
Let's work backwards. Hunter Thompson's widow, the dearly beloved Anita Thompson, opens up her home, her farm, Owl Farm, where Hunter lived, wrote, shot tree trunks, ranted, raved, got in trouble in hot tubs. Walking on hallowed ground.
Yes, sir.
The peacocks are there. Anita keeps the peacocks. And the spirit, to walk into the room and to look at the spot where Hunter sat and wrote, it goes beyond words. It's like being on Montserrat for the Mass for the Black Virgin once a year in the center of Barcelona and Catalan Catholicism. It's just... Give thanks and praise to Most High Jah Rastafari. It's a magic moment.
I agree.
She opens it up for a barbecue and a band, and I have to walk barefoot there. I'm uncomfortable having shoes on. It just is wrong. It's like visiting Mecca. It's a Hajj.
I think one of my favorite things that I see out there was the shot up keg that's in that picture of him shooting Reagan. There's the keg with the shotgun blasts in it. That to me is iconic.
It causes me to be speechless, and I am never speechless. Now, backing up, in the days leading up to that, we have 3 half days of legal seminars to keep us being the state of the art in marijuana defense and marijuana representation, legalization, you name it. The legal committee people, the finest defense lawyers in the country, come in from all over the country and sit through classes taught by the best in the country. And what turned the switch for me in joining and putting my name on the website under normal legal committee was when I discovered that 3 and now 4 past presidents of NACTL, National Association for Criminal Defense Lawyers, are prominent normal legal committee members. And I looked at it and said, well, shit. Sorry about that, FCC. But if they're willing to put their names up there, so am I. And I joined as a life member the next day.
That's wonderful. And you know, I've had the privilege of being able to do 4 of these events so far, and to be there as a non-lawyer, but someone who has to scan initiative text a lot, it was very refreshing to hear from these experts and the creative ways in which they interpret the law and understand and assert our rights. I remember, and I think the fellow was from Kansas City, one of his presentations on drug dogs and all that.
Dan Mallett.
There we go.
M-A-L-L-O-T-T. And I have it on my list to reach out to Dan. I have a dog case at the moment.
There we go. Yeah, it's and spoken in a way that, you know, these lawyers are getting their continuing legal education credits, so it's high level information. But these guys are some of the best public speakers there are, so it came across to me. I seemed to understand what was going on with this stuff and learned so much about how the law works. And there was a presentation one time on voir dire, or how is that pronounced? When you're choosing the jury, the voir dire?
Yes, exactly. Voir dire means to speak the truth. It's when we get to question the jury and pick the jury.
Yeah, it was very fascinating on how we as cannabis consumers tend to get ourselves off juries and we need to learn how to be on them.
My sister was called for a jury in Florida about a month ago. As you know, Florida had 58% in favor of legalization just a couple of months ago.
Medical.
They needed 60 for medical, yes. They had 58. My sister stood up when they got to her group and said, well, this is a marijuana case. I can't be on the jury. We legalized this. We voted to legalize, and I would never convict anybody of marijuana offense. And besides that, my brother is so active, big shot in Colorado and all around. I couldn't do this. She sat down. They excused her, and then one after another, more and more and more of the panel stood up and said, well, I voted to legalize it. Why are we still here? And eventually, the case went away. They could not pick a jury.
Wow. Can't see a jury in Florida. Times are changing, huh, Lenny?
Oh, man. We think of jury nullification as something that happens in the jury box at the end of the case when the jury goes back, closes the door, and says, we're not going to enforce this law. That we don't like that. And the jury legally can do that. Well, now they're starting to do it before the trial starts. Just saying, we have more important things to do than screw around with ruining someone's life over marijuana.
Now, there was a similar case in Montana, I believe, where they couldn't sit a jury for a small possession case. They got dismissed. And again, Montana? Really? Last question here, Lenny. We're moving forward to 2016. Legalization is a big issue in a lot of states. How do you see this shaking out on the national level with respect to the presidential campaign? It's been kind of interesting watching these candidates tiptoe around it.
Chris Christie.
Except Chris Christie.
You heard this first here. Chris Christie is the best Democrat ever born. He is following in the shoes of Sarah Palin. And I can only say, I hope I'm not wrong, but I really hope they make him the Republican candidate because it guarantees a Democratic win, just the way Sarah Palin was the best Democrat of her time ever.
Gotcha.
That's my hope.
Now I understand.
He came out and said, I'm going to shut the states down.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Chris went to the same high school I did.
Really?
You want to know the importance of one vote? Let me tell you the importance of one vote. My cousin, a number of years younger than me, ran against Chris Christie for president of her senior class. Chris Christie won. She lost by one vote. If she had been the president of her high school class and not him, Would that have changed history? I propose that it might have.
There you go, baby. Maybe getting defeated for the class president, he's down on the whole idea of politics and goes into his true calling, running a pizza joint or something.
Selling used cars in...
in Newark, something like that.
I went to law school in Newark, at Rutgers, thank you very much.
And, hey,
and in fact, it's a city that really does need all our help.
Yeah,
right.
Let's legalize in New Jersey and get some of this economic activity there, huh?
Yeah, and let's stop picking on people of darker color than me in places like Newark over pot and ruining their lives and ruining their kids' lives and their wives' lives and their families' lives and destroying their communities over marijuana.
It's a social justice issue, and you know, out west here, Colorado, Oregon, we're a little whiter as far as the states go, but as we look out Washington, D.C., they passed legalization 70%, not for the taxation, they don't have a market, they did that for the social justice issue, and I wish we were putting more into that, because I worry about, you know, selling this on the tax revenue. As the prices of marijuana start to decline, there's not going to be, for these states that tax by percent, that tax revenue is going to go down, and then you have people say, well, is it worth it? Well, yeah, it's worth it. Even if it's a money loser, we should legalize marijuana because it's the right thing to do.
There's no question that even if it's a money loser, society gains, except it's impossible for it to be a money loser.
Right.
In Colorado, we're a little on the cheap side. To keep someone in prison and for possession-only offenses, people talk generally about half the prison population, it cost us $37,500 to keep a person in prison in the state of Colorado. A student in middle school cost us $10,500. We spend almost four times as much to keep a prisoner in as we do in educating a child. Excuse me?
All right. Lenny, thank you so much for stopping by here at the desk for our first interview on a Sunday, and we'll have this out for you and online for anyone to download if they'd like to hear more. And give them some contact info if they need for Colorado Normal or any other websites you'd like to promote.
Russ, love you, man.
Thank you.
What a pleasure. I'm going to pat myself on the back, lfreeling.com, L-F-R-I-E-L-I-N-G. The real heroes at coloradonormal.org, normal, N-O-R-M-L.org, leap, L-E-A-P.cc. And Russ Belville on our favorite 420 radio.
Thank you so much.
Keep up the fight, man. Keep
all
up
right.
The fight.
We're going to take y'all back to the Cannabis Cup now. Thanks so much for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.